The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Children ages 3 to 10 are welcome to go now with Katie for story time, and they will be back with us at the piece.
Through the written word and the spoken word, God help us to hear your living word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God is still speaking. God has never stopped speaking, nor will she ever. God is speaking. The question will always be whether we are listening and whether we are ready and able to learn, grow, and expand. I love the book of Acts. We get a nice chunk of Acts during the Easter season because the Acts of the Apostles closely follows the post-resurrection community. A post-resurrection community listening for the word of God as they spread the good news and form the Jesus movement. 2,000 years later, we are not all that different. The ancestors have given us a lot to learn from. But we are still a post-resurrection people trying our best to live faithfully. In writing Acts, Luke clearly felt the need to emphasize the episode we heard today. It's told twice, first in chapter 10, and then summarized here again in chapter 11. The leaders of the Jesus movement have some important discernment to do as they spread the gospel. Who gets to hear the word? Who is included in the community? Who is not part of the outreach plan? After Peter has dined, shared fellowship, and even stayed in the homes of Gentiles, the Jewish Christ followers demand to know why he has associated with these Gentiles. Why has Peter transgressed God and God's covenant with the Jewish people? These Gentiles, in particular, are closely linked with the Roman government. Why would Peter consort with agents of the empire? Why, Peter? Why? Because God told him to. Because God called him in a vision. Because God reminded Peter that nothing God has made will be called profane. That includes the Gentiles. His fellow followers see Peter as transgressing the law of the Lord, but this is actually God speaking a new word. Remember all those times Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you, This is one of those moments. You have heard it said, do not associate with what is profane or unclean, but I say to you, what God has made clean cannot be profane. What Peter's fellow followers first saw as going against God was actually God pressing, expanding, and renewing the message. God is still speaking. Dr. Willie James Jennings is a theologian who is known for his contributions to liberation theology. He says this of Peter's journey. Peter must soon do a strange thing. He must give witness to the witnesses of Jesus and try to convince followers that God transgresses. The beautiful and sometimes frustrating thing about our God is that God transgresses. She transgresses boundaries constantly. The God who created all builds bridges, breaks down border walls, and destroys human boundaries. Peter had the strange task of communicating this new word from God. God's encouragement for Peter to share the good news with the Gentiles is a new and strange directive. Jesus came for the people already in covenant with God. But now God has invited the uncircumcised, uncovenanted people to hear and receive the good news and to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Because anti-Jewish bias from Christians is all too common, I feel the need to pause for a moment and say that the Jesus movement does not negate God's covenant with the Jewish people. These are branches and diverging paths. When I speak here of the Jesus movement, I speak only of those early followers of Jesus, some of whom were Jewish and some of whom were Gentiles, and the path that they walked. God's call to Peter and his community is expansive. Expansive even to an uncomfortable and scary level. It's unwieldy and confusing. But that is the way of God. God presses us to new levels of inclusion. God moves us beyond what is convenient and comfortable. God always asks us to be in relationship with the people we might deem other. The Spirit of God is not an othering spirit. It is an inclusive and expansive spirit. God breaks the barriers between in-group and out-group because there is only one group, the children of God. The Spirit of God and the baptism with Holy Spirit is available and open to all. To which Peter says, "Who am I to hinder God? Who am I to hinder God?" That's a word for the ages. Who am I to get in the way of our expansive, undomesticated, transgressing, and transforming God? Who am I? When God gives a new and expansive word, will I get in the way? Will we get in the way? This has been a struggle throughout church history. It's a struggle today and tomorrow and will be for many more tomorrows. As an example, I'll speak a bit about open communion. At St. Columba's, before the distribution of communion each week, we say, wherever you are on your journey of faith, you are welcome at Christ's table. And I experience this as a word from God. For many, sharing the Eucharist is a closed practice. Some will say that you must be baptized, including many Episcopalians. Some will say that you must be baptized into a specific tradition. Some will require preparation. And Christians throughout the world have theological explanations for each of these decisions. But for me, open communion for all people, regardless of baptism or not, their affiliation with our church or not, is deeply important. It is in alignment with my understanding of God and of the scriptures. I have defended this position in part by expressing that if a person sits in the pews, hears the word of God through scripture, preaching, and prayer, sees the Eucharist, and feels called to receive, who am I to deny them? Who am I to stop someone from receiving the grace of God in the form of Christ's body in the Eucharist? Who am I? At the same time, I would still love for that to become a conversation about baptism and about other ways that we can deepen your connection with this community. But in that moment, who am I to deny the working of the Spirit in the heart of a person? If God is speaking to you, and I hope God is speaking in this church, I want you to listen, and listen fully, and then let's talk about it. God is speaking a new word to you and to me and to this church and to Washington, D.C. and to the world. God is speaking. God is speaking the word of love over hate, the word of care and support over dismissal, of community over isolation, of people over profits, of welcome over exile, of healing over harm, of generosity over greed. And yet, not every new word is from God. Not every message that we hear about God, about church, about community and society is from God. Knowing that God will always have more to say to us, we must be discerning. Willie James Jennings says this: what does a new word look like? We will know it by its fruit. That which builds life together, life abundant, deepening life in God, is truly a new word from God. That which speaks the community of Christ and echoes a desire for shared life, shared hope, and redemption from death and all its agents is a new word from God. If the fruit is shared life, shared hope, redemption from sin and death, keep listening to that voice. If the fruit is exclusionary and death-dealing, my friends, we better pause. That does not sound like the word of God. We must listen together. Peter's friends asked him, "Peter, are you sure about that?" And his experience of God and of God's children affirmed, "Yes, God told me so, and I believed." And his friends and fellow followers got on board. We can question and discern together. We must listen closely and carefully. What I can say for certain is that God is speaking. God will always be speaking. And if God is pushing us to be more loving, more merciful, more connected, then who are we to hinder God?